Okay. Luke 22, the title of my message tonight, and I thank you, Brother Pruitt, for your message tonight. That was truth, and those kinds of messages need to be preached from every pulpit and from every podium and from every government office in our land. How sad. But God warned us. He warned us the entire history of this country of the folly of turning our backs upon Him.
Yes.
So we've been given fair warning.
Yes.
First president of our country, when he left office finally, wrote in his farewell address that it would be a tragic mistake to give this much freedom to an immoral society.
Yes.
And that's exactly what we've done.
Yes.
And we have sown to the wind and we are reaping the whirlwind.
Yes.
And so the advice that Brother Pruitt gave to parents and grandparents is the best advice that can be given. And God's way is always the right way. It is the best way. It is the only way. And we sure better hurry to get back to it before it's everlastingly too late. This message I see kind of lays alongside of Brother Pruitt's message in a different sort of way. But it is important in that way. The Lord always does those sorts of things. Luke 22, I trust you understand with me that this message tonight and the words from God's Word were written for our learning. And we need, I believe, whether we are here today and we've been following the Lord for decades, or whether you are here today and you are newly a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, or whether you are here today, the Lord has brought you here and you are here without a Savior, and you are still lost and undone in your sins, and without God and without hope, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2. Whatever your condition, this message is suitable for where you are, for where I am as a preacher of the Word. And so we want to look at Luke 22, and we'll begin in verse 28 there to read a little what I would call a backstory. You're all familiar, I trust, with this account of Peter, and it is written for our learning, and we will try to find our place. And so the Lord speaking to his disciples in verse 28 and says to them, "Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." Let us pray. Father, we ask your mercy and your blessing upon the reading of your eternal word tonight and our preaching from it. We do pray you would lead us, fill us, guide us by your Holy Spirit, that the things that we say will be faithful and honor your word, and exalt your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and edify all who have come this way tonight to hear your word. We thank you for this occasion and the sweetness of the fellowship that has been shared and enjoyed here tonight, and look forward to more by your mercy. Now help us to preach your word. Open the hearts and ears of all who assemble, that we might hear your voice from your word and your instruction for us. Lay your word to the nooks and crannies of each of our lives as seemeth good to thee. In the verses that we read, in the backstory to our verses primary, which come a little later, we see three things that I want to point out very quickly. We first see a place of privilege as followers of Jesus that Jesus spoke about, that they are part of His kingdom and they will sit at His table. Yeah. And so that points out to us the unusual, the coveted, the precious privileges that belong to the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And so we are in, brothers and sisters, all of us who name the name of Jesus in truth here tonight, we are a people of a privileged position before God. And so that's the first thing that we see. Peter, of course, was in such a position. The next thing that we see immediately on the heels of that, because of our privileged position, we have the attention of the adversary, whose name is Satan. And he has his eye on all of those people of privilege in God's kingdom, especially those that are striving by the grace of God to serve Him and serve Him well. Peter was one of those chosen to be an apostle. A lot of responsibility already given to him. And we have responsibilities given to us as well. And so we read in verse 31 of Satan's desire. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And so understand what we're up against as followers of Jesus, privileged though we are. If we are trying to serve in truth and verity the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater that we desire to serve Him and be pleasing to Him, the greater that the adversary will desire to sift us as wheat. And so these are givens, and I think they're important for our learning, for us to extract more fully perhaps the lessons of the message tonight. The third thing that we see before we get into the text proper is Peter's self-confidence. Self-confidence. Something that was mentioned tonight or touched on tonight about self-righteousness and how ineffective and how shallow it is and how it doesn't get into the nooks and crannies of our being.
Right.
And that takes the washing of the Lord by the water of the Word and the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ and the injection of the Holy Spirit of Christ within us to guide us and to reveal to us the Word of God and to lead us and so on. You know these things. But Peter here is demonstrating what many of us, all of us at some time or other, have demonstrated and do demonstrate in varying degrees. And it's something that must be dealt with, and the Lord here deals with it in Peter. And so, verse 33, we see his self-confidence. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. He has said in other places that he would never deny the Lord. Others might, but I will never, and such things as that. A lot of self-confidence in his ability, in his resolute stand for Christ. It was a lot of self-confidence in his ability. He felt that he was different. He was a cut above. He was a mark. He was a different man. And he was able. And all the rest might forsake the Lord, but he would never do it. And that's a tragic mistake for any of us. And that, in spite of what we read in the Bible about self-confidence, Paul writes in Philippians 3, we rejoice in Jesus Christ, but have no confidence in the flesh.
Amen.
Just recently, the Lord, as He agonized over the weight of our sins, beginning to bear heavily in His own being in the garden, He reminded Peter and those with Peter that were assembled there and had fallen asleep in such a critical hour of the Lord's agony. He told them to watch and pray because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter reveals that weakness in our text. In Romans chapter 7, Paul, the chief of sinners and great apostle, confesses after 30 years of following the Lord Jesus, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And I wonder if you know that tonight. That's something that we need to be constantly reminded of. that our flesh is no bit, not one whit improved. It doesn't matter if you've been following the Lord for 30 years, 40 years, or 50 or 60. And so we see Peter's self-confidence, and it needed to be dealt with. And the Lord is gracious in his dealings. And so let's look at our text in Luke 22, a little further down. We begin in verses 54. The title of my message tonight is The Folly of Following Afar Off. It's a familiar text to you, I trust, beginning at verse 54. Then took they him, that is the Lord Jesus, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, "Thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?" And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. The first point we find in our message tonight, be easy to follow, verse 54. Peter followed afar off. Let those words sink in. They're pregnant with meaning. Very important for us. Peter followed afar off. As a disciple, he was called to follow Jesus, and so are you. So am I. It is the call of God upon our lives. Follow me. That's what brought Peter. It caused Peter, you remember, to drop his nets and begin to follow the Lord, was that command. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. It is the call of Jesus upon your life to follow him. It is our calling as his disciples.
Yes.
In Matthew chapter 16, then Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." In John chapter 10 and verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." It's a call of Jesus upon your life to follow him.
Yes.
John 12 and 26, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." The call, again, is follow me. But Peter was following afar off.
Yes.
Note those words again. They are pregnant with meaning. They're important words. It's a powerful phrase. Later in his ministry, Peter would write in 1 Peter chapter 2 and 21, "For even hereunto are you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps." But he had to face his self-confidence first.
Yes.
It had to be driven out of him, if you will.
Yes.
And so it does reach of us.
Sorry.
And so let us consider following afar off. How close are you following the Lord Jesus? Peter had just refused to believe that he could deny the Lord, his Savior, his God, his King. Perhaps you feel you could never deny the Lord. Take a note from Peter.
Amen.
Peter following afar off. It's not that Peter wasn't following Jesus. I trust that all of you here that name the name of Jesus are following him in some way, shape, or form. Peter was following Jesus. He was just following afar off. He wasn't very close. There was a distance between the Lord and Peter. And that's always, for us, a big mistake. Let us take note of this important phrase. It's not that Peter wasn't following. It's probably not that you're not following. But how close are you following?
Yes, right.
In the world that you and I live in, the world that Brother Pruitt described to us, that makes us, like Jeremiah, want to weep increasingly bitter tears over the state of our beloved nation. One nation under God at one time, not now. Oh, under God we are, but not bowing before his authority, we're not.
Right.
And there's a big difference in that, but we'll not preach that message. But we'll lay this alongside, because in such a nation, the disciples of the Lord Jesus would do well to be careful that we're not following like Peter afar off. And so we continue. This word is an interesting word, this phrase, afar off. The Greek word really is about separation. Separation of apart from the whole. That's an interesting definition, isn't it?
Yeah.
Our brother mentioned that the Lord, this is a special place. Grace Baptist Church in Braden is a special place. That's holy ground. The Lord is in that place. That's where he's placed his name. The Lord is here, and we know that. We sense that. This is a very special place where the people of God gather in church capacity. That's a relationship that's different than just believing in the Lord and being a freelance Christian. To be a member of the Lord's church is to be in the most intimate relationship with the Lord God that is possible.
Amen.
And so, there we are. And so the Greek word about the way Peter was following the Lord is that there was a separation, Peter from the whole. That's bad.
Yeah.
There may be some here tonight that are separated from the whole. You're not part of the Lord's church. Or you've gotten a little careless about being an integral part of the Lord's church. You're not functioning like you once did. You're not attending as diligently as you once did. You don't have time. Other things are getting way. Well, you know what? You're following afar off. And that's a bad mistake in the world that we live in. It never leads to anything good. And we see that in the man Peter, in the disciple Peter, in the apostle Peter. The Greek word is about separation of apart from the whole, like a part of the body separated from the whole. That's not a good thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where you are tonight. I would encourage you, by the Word of God, to do something about that.
Amen.
That's not a good place for you to be, following afar off, or separated from the body of Christ, which is the local assembly of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It's not a universal and invisible entity made up of all the saved. That's hogwash.
Yes. Amen.
Any kind of separation by... Another definition, any kind of separation by which the union of fellowship of the two is broken or destroyed or weakened. And so it is possible, saved by grace.
Yes.
We know all about that. And I was starting to think that the hymns were well chosen to make me change my message and preach on Ephesians chapter 2 or something. But I decided this was a good grace message too.
Yes.
A good grace message.
Yes.
And so we stuck with it. I've got a funny story to tell you about how I got to this message, but I'm not going to tell you that. I don't have time. We're on a short leash tonight. So the Greek words, we've looked at them a little bit. And so a breach had taken place in the fellowship between Peter and the Lord because he was walking afar off. He had created a distance. There was a breach in the fellowship.
Yeah.
And that's never good for the child of God. It wasn't good for Peter, and we see that immediately. The separation, we read about it. It comes in different ways for different causes, and so we want to understand that as well. There are many ways that you can follow afar off. Jesus said in Matthew 15, for example, "This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me."
Amen.
Oh, there's a lot of that kind of Christianity in modern America. A lot of lip service, but the heart is not in it. That's a dangerous place in modern America. We've got work to do for the glory of the Lord and for our children and grandchildren and for the perpetuity of the Lord's church until He comes. There's a lot of work to do. We can't do it following afar off. James wrote about it in chapter 4 and verse 8 when he said, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Don't follow afar off. Draw close. Get as close as you can get. Be close in the church. Be involved in the Lord's church. Participate. Stay close. He's in the church. He promised when we gather together and when we assemble, there would He be also in the midst of us. He's in the midst of the candlestick and He's observing. And He's critiquing, but that's another message. You'll read that in Revelation 2 and 3. "Draw nigh unto God," James wrote, "and He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." He giveth more grace in the context. So you see, it's a grace message. Draw nigh unto Him. He giveth more grace. He's got plenty to give. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." That's exactly what's in our context, isn't it? We've got a problem with the devil. And we gave him an in when we started following afar off. You can't afford to do that. It never comes of any good. Even Isaiah in chapter 59 in the Old Testament, the prophet of redemption, says this of Israel, and it fits today, and many particulars, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God." Following afar off, living carelessly in the world, will not lead to anything good in your spiritual walk with Christ. The opposite of afar off is abiding. Peter wasn't abiding. He thought he was abiding. He thought he would do nothing but abide. But very quickly, he was no longer abiding. It can happen so quickly. That's another important thing to take note of. Just a little bit of time, a very little bit of time between avowing that he would never, never deny the Lord, only to find him denying the very Lord that he said he would never deny. It can happen that quick. And it happens by following a little too far off. Being separated from our Lord. The Lord that said to us all who follow Him that without me you can do nothing. And we see that in our text. Jesus said in John 15, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." John carries that on in 1 John 2, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed when He comes." 1 John 2, "He that saith he abideth in Him ought him also so to walk."
Amen.
Even as he walked. But Peter was following afar off. Don't let that be you, brothers and sisters. But Peter, perhaps like some here today, was following afar off, and it wasn't very long. One verse. There's a reason for that. God would underscore in the scriptures that it only took one verse. One verse. But Peter following afar off, and it wasn't very long, one verse, before we go to verse 55, that same Peter sat down among them and warmed himself by their fire. How can that be? That quickly, how can that be? And do you imagine for a moment that it couldn't be you? Be careful of that. For sure. This is written for our learning, that we might see ourselves as candidates for this very thing.
Yes.
Written for our learning, indeed. Oh, the chill that night was not just in the air.
No.
The chill was in many a heart. Cold hearts. Peter's heart was growing colder by the minute. And he found some comfort. That's right, he found some comfort in sitting down, believing he was sitting down anonymously.
Yeah.
And wouldn't be recognized. And enjoying the warmth of the fire of the enemy. Enjoying being not recognized. It's hard to imagine that Peter wouldn't want to be recognized as an apostle and follower of the Lord Jesus. But that night he didn't want to be recognized. We don't want to be recognized when we're following afar off. That's the last thing we want to be recognized. You know it's so. Oh my. Yes. Oh, there's much learning for us here tonight, brothers and sisters. The chill indeed was not just in the night air that night, but in the hearts of many. And Peter was among them. Jesus would say in Matthew 24, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That happens to disciples.
Yeah.
It happened to Peter that night. That's why that fire felt so good. It can happen to you. It has happened to me. You felt that cold chill of spiritual coolness, and you wondered, how can this be? How can I feel this way? Following a little too far off. It doesn't take much. The Lord could still see Peter. The scripture makes that clear. So it wasn't that he was miles away. He had just distanced himself some to avoid the threat that he perceived was coming upon his Lord. The danger overwhelmed him. The fear that doesn't belong with faith overwhelmed him. And fear gets the best of us sometimes because we're following a little too far off. Well, thank you, brother. You prayed. Anything good of it is the Lord's doing, not mine. Oh, how welcome was the fire, the mesmerizing flames, the warmth. Peter, now one of many, a part of the multitude, anonymous, invisible, safe. Nor was he really. No. And neither are you. It's noteworthy in Matthew's account what was taking place between Peter following afar off in verse 58 and him sitting down among them and warming himself by the fire in verse 69. In verse 66, between Peter following afar off and him sitting down by the enemy's fire to join them, verse 66, Jesus is accused of blasphemy and his accusers cry out in unison, he is guilty of death. In verse 67, they spit in his face. Then they buffeted him and smote him with the palms of their hand. And then they mocked him, taunting and mocking God the Son. Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, and tell us which one it was that smote thee. all of that between following afar off and warming himself by the enemy's fire. What a picture that draws. Oh, let us be mindful of following afar off. It never leads to any good. And in just another verse or two, so little time. How rapidly it unfolds, how rapidly it descends, how rapidly it unravels, how rapidly so much is lost in just a few moments of time, how it can happen to you or to me or anyone else in this room that is walking a little afar off from your Lord. It doesn't take long. In just a verse or two, we hear Peter say the unthinkable. I know him not. How could that be? Peter? How could it not be you? How could it not be me? And that's the point.
Yes.
It certainly could be.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Right.
Thou art one of them. I am not. So I would never say that. Well, you know something? Often our actions speak louder than our words. You were with him. I don't know what you're talking about. The inevitable consequences of following afar off. Verse 61 and 62. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. You know, it's interesting. I was just talking with two fathers in the dining hall after or during dinner. Neither one of them knew what I was preaching on. But both of them shared an account of the most powerful one, in one case, the most powerful experience that he had had with his father didn't come from a rod. It came from a look. That can only happen when the Father has bestowed not only discipline, but love.
Amen.
The other father shared a story somewhat similar from his wife's childhood. And there was not a word spoken, but it put a forever end to the behavior that was being dealt with. And that's exactly what happened in our text.
Yes.
And that's grace.
Yes.
That's grace. And that's good parenting.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that the Lord looked upon Peter. He's doing that all the time as he walks among the candlestick. He's looking upon his people. And when the word is being preached and you are feeling like God is speaking to you, then he's probably looking at you.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
This is literal.
Yeah.
But it was then that Peter, the Bible says, Peter remembered the word of the Lord. And he went out weeping bitterly. That's where walking afar off always leads, bitterness of soul. For the unbeliever, as seen in Luke 16, the story of the rich man and Lazarus, we're made to understand that the way things are in this life can be very different in the life to come.
True.
But there's an unbeliever there, and when he died, no angels came and transported him. The Bible says he died and woke up in hell.
True.
In torment.
It says,
that's literal.
Yes.
That's not a parable. That's a literal. What the Lord did is he pulled the curtain back to give you a look at reality.
True.
That unbeliever had been walking far off from the Lord. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water. Cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. How many years that beggar had been laid at his gate and was ignored by that rich man, never welcomed into his home, looked down upon, finding some satisfaction in the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, his sores being licked by the dogs that passed by in the neighborhood. But never any interest from the rich man. But now, how welcome he would be by that same man in a very different set of circumstances. And so that rich man now said, But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Now that's a long way from following afar off. But that's where following afar off can lead. To an irrevocable, unchangeable, eternal reality of torment.
Yes.
These things are written for your learning.
Yes.
Don't let this be you.
Yes.
This too is written for our learning.
Yes.
This same Peter, so interesting to me, this same Peter, we find him preaching his heart out in Acts chapter 2 after Christ had been risen, taken up into glory, seated now at the right hand of the Father. This episode that had just taken place not long before that did him some good, as the Lord knew it would.
Yeah.
And he was preaching like he had never preached before.
Amen.
And this is what we hear, a very different Peter. A Peter who has learned from his mistakes. A Peter who had the Lord Jesus as his intercessor, his advocate, his Savior. And you know what he's preaching? Repent and be baptized.
Amen.
The promise is unto you and to all that are afar off. Interesting choice of words. Even as many as the Lord shall call. That's a balanced preaching. The same Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You see, we've got to balance the preaching. There's too much at stake.
Yeah.
And the danger is eternal for the lost and the unsaved to follow afar off. Peter understood what it means and where it leads to be following afar off. And in his preaching with power, blessed of the Lord, when hundreds were added to the church in that time frame under his preaching, the same Peter, no, a very different Peter, a Peter who has learned from his mistakes, was preaching that this promise from God is unto you and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord God shall call.
Amen.
Oh, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Ephesians chapter 2, and this is where we'll quit. I'm going to parse it a little bit, if that's okay. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Yes, amen.
If you're going to be made nigh, it's going to be by the blood of Christ.
Yes.
For He is our peace, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is the afar offness, the separation, the broken fellowship caused by our sins against Him, against the God who made us, that He might reconcile us unto God by the cross. And so He came preaching peace to you who were afar off, and providing access by one Spirit unto God the Father, that we be no more strangers and foreigners, but rather fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God.
Yes.
Brother, sister, if you're here tonight and that's you, the message goes out to you. In fact, to all who are afar off and all that our God will call. Is He calling you tonight? Now you see what I meant. We can lay this aside along Brother John's message. It's very personal. And it fits the believer, young or old. And it fits the lost as well. And so may the Lord God be pleased to lay it to our hearts, to His glory and our good.
May the Lord